Good evening and welcome to This Week in Football from the makers of Low Limit Football on the Beyond the Pitch and FNX Media Networks. I am your host, Joe Usello, and tonight we break down Bolivia as they get set to kick off the 2019 Copa America. Joining me as always, my co-host, Mr. Roberto Rojas, and special guest tonight, Mr. Andres Mendez, Bolivian football expert. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining me tonight. Andres, I want to start off with you and ask you about your ties to Bolivian football and your coverage of Bolivian football.
Of course. Thank you for having me. Joe, Roberto, thank you. I would like to start by introducing Bolivian football. Maybe your listeners don't have a big idea about Bolivian football. It doesn't get as much coverage as other countries in South America. But Bolivia is a country where soccer football is the main sport. We take it very seriously. We have won the Copa America on one occasion, 1963, when it was played here in Bolivia. And we also reached the final in 1997. When it was played here again. We qualified for the World Cup in 1994. That was our biggest accomplishment. We managed to get a good squad for that eliminatoria season, and it remains till this day our biggest accomplishment. And because of that accomplishment, which is already, it's been over 20 years from that, we still have high expectations of completing that feat again. So we do focus a little more on the eliminatorias than we do on the Copa America. We also have the advantage of playing in La Paz at altitude. So when we do have to play the Copa America, we lose that advantage, and you can tell the difference in the quality of our game. My personal ties, I am Bolivian. I've been supporting the national team since as long as I can remember. And well, supporting Bolivia, it pretty much symbolizes what I like about the sport, about soccer, that you get to see surprise results. Bolivia is usually the underdog, but we still managed to beat Argentina, bigger countries, and it's part of the excitement. We won't always play the best football, but we get to put on a show and match our football against other countries of the highest level in the world. So that's pretty much my ties to Bolivian football.
You know, Andres, I'm just going to jump in real quick because it's always been fascinating to learn about the history of all the countries in South America, all the 10 countries that participate in CONMEBOL. But when it comes to Bolivia, it seems to me that they've always been, you know, one of those teams that, like you said, you know, are considered an underdog. You know, they haven't been to a World Cup since 1994. You know, they're always in the Copa America competing, but, you know, unfortunately, except with one occasion, I think back in 2015, you know, they haven't been able to get out of the group stage. So I just want to ask you, and just curious as to why you think this, I want to say downfall, but just like this bad streak of bad results for Bolivian football, obviously excluding the advantage that they have at home, but just looking over the last 10-15 years, that kind of you know, level of apathy, I would say, in the football.
Okay, well, to start, we can always attribute some of the reasons to the altitude factor. When we play away from home, we don't have that advantage, and we do tend to build our teams with that focus. We will call up more players that play in the altitude. So when they do play away, we won't get the results. But even in recent matches, we haven't been performing that well at home either in the altitude. So you could say we're losing even that advantage. There's a lot of problems institutionally as well. The federation is the only federation in CONMEBOL that doesn't have its own training grounds for the national team. Players are always pointing that out when they get together for friendly matches or competitive matches, that they have to train and they have to do their concentración, they have to do their preparation in different grounds, different hotels. And we don't have enough facilities, training grounds in general in the country. It hasn't developed as much. And I think that is mostly because the federation tends to change the president very, very often. You also get presidents that come from one club, and they'll focus and they'll try and develop the training ground for the national team in the city where they came from. So there's a lot of, I would even go as far to say, as there's a lot of corruption in the institution of the federation, and that has held back our sport as well. Another issue is that we don't tend to export as many players as our neighbor countries do in South America. We currently have, I think it's 3 or 4 players playing abroad in our current Copa America squad, and that's not nearly enough compared to the numbers in other countries. Most of the players for the other teams in Copa America, they play in Europe, and for some reason we haven't managed to export players, and I have a feeling that it might be because of the altitude reputation we have. They look at our players and they'll think they won't be able to cut it in Europe. They think they are mainly players built to play at high altitude, and I think that might have been a factor as to why Bolivian football has been held back a little these past few years.
It's interesting. I wanted to look at the main focus of the team now as we move forward. And especially given that, you know, I was going to get into it a little later on, that this team, is traditionally pretty good at altitude when they play at La Paz. But then when they go elsewhere, that it kind of falls off a little bit. But I want to start with the focus for Eduardo Villegas, the head coach. He's the new head coach since January of 2019, but he's on his second go round of coaching the Bolivian national team. He's got a good mix of young and old on this team. He's got a defender, Roberto Fernandez. He's 19 years old. And 31-year-old Marcelo Martias, I believe it is, if I remember correctly, who also leads the team in caps. What do you expect Villegas to do with this team moving forward in terms of what's going to be his focus around this core of young and old?
Well, Villegas, our manager, is actually one of the only positives we have coming into this campaign. Villegas is one of the most successful managers in Bolivia. He's won the national title 6 times with 4 different clubs. So if you wanted a man in charge of the national team, I think it would be Villegas. So that's a good start. A lot of the players know him as well. They know his philosophy. He tends to play defensive counter-attacking football. And he hasn't had much time to prepare for this cup. But since he knows the players, we're hoping he will be able to implement his ideas rather quickly. We are also, you mentioned a couple of the players there, we're also relying on some of our more experienced players to drive the team forward. Marcelo Moreno Martins, the one you mentioned, he's a striker, 31 years of age. He currently plays in China, but he has played in Brazil in the past. He's half Brazilian, and I think he'll be extra excited, extra pumped up for this cup. Seeing as it's being played in Brazil, a place he knows really well. He's very well respected amongst Brazilian fans. In a recent friendly, or not the friendly, it was an eliminatorias match, Brazil versus Bolivia, he actually took a picture with the Brazil squad, even though he was representing Bolivia. So I think he might have that extra motivation for this tournament. He is our leading cap player, and he is also on a couple goals to become our highest goal scorer. And there are a couple of other players, the young players, so he does have that balance. Roberto Fernandez would be the youngest. I'm not sure how much he'll play. I can see the two Bejaranos playing left and right back, but we do have a really young centre-back partnership. That's been an area where Bolivia have had problems with in the past. And hopefully it doesn't give us any problems now. We're playing Hakim, who is a young player, only 21 years of age. He plays in Mexico now. He joined Puebla, where his other compatriot, Chumacero, plays as well. Chumacero is also supposed to have an important role. He is a box-to-box midfielder, very energetic. So and those players are probably going to play a big role in this cup.
I guess I'll jump into the important one here, Andres, and talk about this group, because it is a tough group, as many people would like to say. You know, looking at order of all the games, Bolivia have the distinct honor of playing their first game against Brazil. You see Bolivia in these type of groups with the host. Then they take on Peru on the 18th at the Maracana, and then they finish it off against Venezuela on the 22nd. Now, knowing how easy it could be for some of these teams to get out of the group, given the fact that of the 12 teams, 8 go to the quarterfinals, with the best third-place team making it to the next round. Is there this possibility that, you know, with this Bolivian side, that and knowing the fact that it is in South America, being that kind of surprise factor and one reminder that I could give, was back in 2015 when they advanced with Chile all the way to the knockout stage. Is there that possibility that we see this again this time around in Brazil? You know, do you think that with everything that's going on in the Brazilian camp, that perhaps they could steal a draw or maybe steal a point or so against one of these teams, like either in Peru or Venezuela? I mean, what is the main factor for the Bolivian side and heading into this group in particular?
Unfortunately, I don't think it's very likely we'll be able to go through to the next round. I see it an uphill task. Even though we have Peru and Venezuela in our group, who traditionally have been mineral countries in South America, much like Bolivia, and in the past, if you gave us the group we have right now, I think we would have been rather happy. But since Peru and Venezuela have improved so much and our preparation has been very poor, we haven't really played competitive matches in almost 2 years. We have played a couple of friendly matches against countries like Myanmar, in Iran, Iraq, and we are scheduled to play France in a couple hours. So I haven't seen enough preparation and enough time for the manager to be able to get any promising results in this cup. I think mostly we will be aiming for trying to get the group together, try and get his ideas down, see if we can put some performances, and hopefully we might cause the opposition some trouble. If we do manage to get a couple points, some results, then we'd be more than happy, but I think it's an uphill task for us this year.
So I'd like to jump in and look at the players to watch in this match now, Andres. And obviously we mentioned Marcelo Martins. He's one of three players that play outside the domestic league. The other two that you had already mentioned, Luis Jaquin, the defender, and the central midfielder, Alejandro Chumacero. So the rest of the team is made up of Bolivian players that are stationed, you know, looking at the team roster that was released, mainly from about three teams, Bolivar, Blooming, and The Strongest for the most part. That's where you're going to find most of the players. So can you give us a player or two that are on this roster that will see significant time that maybe will work their way out of Bolivian football or out of the Bolivian league and into, let's say, like Liga MX, like Chumacero and Jaquin have done, or even maybe move on to Europe or even up into MLS, which it seems like a lot of young South American players are starting to do?
Yes, I can give you a couple. We do have Erwin Saavedra. He currently plays in Bolivar, and he recently had a loan spell in Goiás, a second division team in Brazil. He didn't get much game time, so he came back to Bolivar, but he's playing much better. It looks like the experience abroad did help him. He actually changed his position. He was originally a right back. Now he's playing a more central midfield role, and we keep being impressed at his performances. So I can see him, perhaps not in this cup, but in his performances for Bolivar and maybe next year in the next Copa America, getting some more recognition for his game time and his quality. The other player I would mention is Leonardo Vaca. He plays for Blooming. He is a winger. He's very pacey. He is very energetic as well, skillful. And he hasn't played abroad. He's played in Bolivia and Blooming most of his career. He's pretty young. I think he's 23 years of age. So if he manages to put on some performances, I think it might be easier for him since he's an attacking player. And even if we have any problems with the opposition we face, you usually get to have some counterattack opportunities for these players. So I could see him performing well this cup. So those are a couple of players I could see moving on to, like you said, maybe the Mexican League or elsewhere.
You know, so Andres, I guess we could go into perhaps predicting a starting lineup and what we're going to see from this Bolivian side. So I was just wondering what you would think would be the starting 11 for this Bolivian side heading into the Copa America.
Sure. Well, since we haven't had that many matches in preparation, there's not a lot to base ourselves on what Villegas is thinking. But since his idea is very, very much similar wherever he plays wherever he coaches different clubs, I can see a 4-5-1 having the target man. Probably Marcelo Moreno Martins will be our number 9. He isn't that technical, but he can control the ball. He's very strong, powerful, and hopefully he'll be able to associate with the likes of Leo Vaca, Chumacero when they bomb forward for counterattack. And I can see Lampe, Carlos Emilio Lampe, starting as a goalkeeper. I don't think there's many doubts about that. He was recently playing in Chile. He was doing really well there. He got signed by Boca Juniors just before the infamous final in Madrid. He didn't actually make his debut for Boca Juniors, but he did get to spend time with the squad, which is always a good experience. Now he's playing in Bolivia. He's back in San Jose, but I don't think there's any doubt that Lampe is going to be our keeper. Centre-back partnership is probably going to be Husino and Hakim. Husino is a player who played in the States during his younger ages, but now plays back in Bolivia, in Bolivar. And I can see him playing with Hakim as centre-backs. Our left-back is probably going to be Marvin Bejarano, very experienced player. He's been around the block. He's played several Copa Americas, so we can expect him to play as our left-back. Right-back, I can see Diego Bejarano, the other Bejarano. He is very energetic. He bounces forward a lot as well. So hopefully that is going to help the counter-attacking strategy that Villegas has. In the midfield, we might have a couple of changes. We have some players there that he has been rotating more. I don't think he's decided his midfield three or five yet. I can see Chumacero starting. I can see possibly Justiniano starting. Justiniano plays for Bolivar. He's a bit of a more defensive midfielder, central midfielder, whereas Chumacero is going to go back and forth. Then I have my doubts whether he's going to play Samuel Galindo, who used to be a youngster at Arsenal, but he didn't manage to get much game time there. He came back to Bolivia. He's very talented, so hopefully we'll get to see him, Samuel Galindo, play a central role. And in the wings, I can see Leo Vaca on one side. And in the other, we might have a striker, Alvarez, or he might decide for another midfield option. And as our striker, I can see our main striker, I can see Marcelo Martins. I don't think that's going to change, but that's what I'm expecting from Villegas, 4-5-1.
And like I had mentioned at the beginning, there's, you know, that Villegas has a nice mix of young and old in this particular tournament, and given the 4-5-1 that you just laid out, it runs the gamut from the experience at Lampe in goal and Martins up at striker, throughout with Hakim at 21 years old as a central defender, would be certainly a big swing in experience, which I think is a good thing for the team. So moving forward, though, what is your expectation for this team, given the team that you just laid out, the change in head coach, although it's a head coach that's familiar with the side? What's your expectation for this team in this tournament?
My expectation is we might, you never know, we might put a performance on against Brazil. We've done it in the past, not too far back. We played Argentina in the first match in Copa America, played in Argentina as well, and we managed to squeeze a draw, and that squad wasn't much better than this one. So you never know. I think it's up to Brazil whether they show up, whether they let the pressure get to them. We might, if we're really lucky, get a result there. But I expect us to get maybe one or two points against Venezuela, Peru, and possibly even lose against Peru, because their level has improved a lot. So I can't see us moving on to the next stage, unfortunately, but hopefully they'll surprise me.
Now, obviously, so the biggest surprise of all would be to win the tournament. What would that mean to the Federation and the people of Bolivia?
Wow, that hadn't even crossed my mind. It would be very special. I don't think it's going to happen, but to win a Copa America in Brazil, that would be historical. I don't think anyone would forget about it anytime soon.
That's for sure. No doubt about it. Gentlemen, I'd like to thank you both for joining me tonight and helping me break down the Bolivian national team. So for Andres Mendez Dot and for Roberto Rojas, I am Joe Uccello. Thanks for listening to our Bolivia preview for the 2019 Copa America, and good night.